Hello, lovely Buddhas, and welcome to today's reading of The New Human Revolution, Volume 2. We will be reading from pages 154 to 171 and completing the chapter Training. So let's begin. On the evening of October 4, an emergency leaders meeting was convened at the Nishi Biwajima Municipal Civic Center in the district of Nishi Kasugai. Although the gathering took place in the middle of a natural disaster, the members were extremely cheerful. Perhaps one benefit of this trying experience was that many came to deeply appreciate the power of faith, and each felt a profound sense of having been protected in some way. The tireless relief efforts of the youth division had also filled them with deep gratitude and made them feel proud to belong to the Soka Gakkai. Praying earnestly that the members would recover quickly from the devastation around them, Shinichi offered wholehearted encouragement. "I am sure that, overnight, many of you have lost everything you owned. However, as long as you have faith, you will accumulate countless times the benefit and good fortune you have experienced thus far." In the Gosho, Nichiren Daishonin explains that when practitioners of the true law suffer from natural calamities or some other hardship, they are in fact experiencing during this lifetime and in a lesser form some great obstacle they may have been destined to encounter in the future. Therefore, facing such hardship is an indication of expiating negative karma from the past. I'm sure you will definitely come to appreciate this one day. The Daishonin declares, "Those who believe in the Lotus Sutra are as if in winter, but winter always turns to spring. Your future happiness is absolutely assured. Our true worth is determined by how we proceed with our lives in the most painful of times. Moreover, the presence of people filled with courage and hope will cheer and hearten everyone around them. As Soka Gakkai members, all of you have a mission to encourage and inspire hope and confidence in your families and your fellow members, as well as in your friends and in your local communities. Please use everything in your lives as a springboard for deepening your faith, brilliantly transforming the negative into something of positive value and benefit. I also hope you will show splendid actual proof of victory through faith." Immediately after the meeting, Shinichi set off for Yokkaichi in Mie Prefecture to encourage members who had been affected there. But transportation links between Aichi and Mie Prefectures were still paralyzed. This forced him to take a circuitous route, first traveling to the Kansai area via Gifu, and then continuing on to Mie Prefecture, where he finally arrived the following day on October 5th. Shinichi was driven by the powerful desire to allow none of his fellow members to remain in a state of misery and suffering. Here again, as he moved through the Yokkaichi area encouraging each member he met, he was drenched in sweat and his clothes and shoes were sopping with muddy water. Everywhere he went, including Kansai, he expressed deep appreciation to the members who had cooperated in the relief effort. Food, clothing and other material aid and assistance had been dispatched quickly to the affected areas. The Soka Gakkai network, founded on sincere heart-to-heart human bonds, had functioned splendidly to assist in the relief effort. The Ise Bay typhoon of 1959 had been a disaster of truly mammoth proportions, leaving 5,098 people dead or missing, and another 38,921 suffering various degrees of injury. It was the worst typhoon on record in Japanese history, surpassing even the destructiveness of the Muroto typhoon of 1934 and the Makurazaki typhoon of 1945, in which the number of dead or missing totaled 3,036 and 3,756 respectively. The Ise Bay typhoon toll was 4,624 dead or missing in Aichi and Mie prefectures alone, accounting for more than 90% of the total. Soka Gakkai members had also lost their lives in the disaster, adding to Shinichi's heartache over the tragedy. As he prayed for those who had died so tragically, and for the members in the Chubu region to recover quickly from their grievous situation, Shinichi Yamamoto vowed in his heart. I will dedicate my life to the happiness and triumph of these precious children of the Buddha. Upon becoming Soka Gakkai president, one of his vows was to rid Japan of such major natural disasters. More than 10 months had passed since the Ise Bay typhoon. Today, the high-spirited Chubu members were competing energetically in sports events. One could sense in them the strength of having triumphed over hardship and of looking to the future with hope. A smile lit Shinichi's face as he watched them. At 12:30 p.m., the sports meet formally closed after the completion of all events. Delighted by the members' positive and dynamic spirit, Shinichi briefly addressed the assembly, interspersing his remarks with humor. I have seen ample proof today of the sound physical strength of our Chubu Youth Division members. But I hope that from now on, you'll also apply yourselves to developing your minds and building your strength in the study of Buddhism. Laughter rocked the stadium. I'm looking forward to your becoming genuinely strong, both physically and in the study of the Daishonin's Buddhism, so that you may splendidly lead the people. I also pray that you will always advance cheerfully, joyously, and in courageous unity, as you did at today's sports meet. Let us construct a beautiful realm where peace and happiness prevail here in Japan, as we each strive to become a wonderful model. In our daily lives and in our Soka Gakkai activities, that will serve as an inspiration for people the world over. Though his comments were very brief, his talk of constructing a beautiful realm where peace and happiness prevail struck a profound chord in the participants' hearts. It became a goal that all members throughout the country pledged to realize. The Chubu members had magnificently swept away the dark clouds cast by the Ise Bay typhoon and made a fresh start. Awaiting him on his return to Tokyo was a full itinerary of guidance trips throughout Japan. Despite the intense summer heat, President Shinichi Yamamoto could not take even a moment's respite. During this year's annual summer guidance program, top Soka Gakkai leaders would visit 39 areas, from Hokkaido in the north to Amami Oshima in the south, over 5 days, August 17th to 21. Standing in the vanguard, Shinichi was scheduled to attend a general chapter leaders meeting in Kansai on the 19th, a leaders meeting in Fukuoka, Kyushu on the 20th, and finally a series of guidance meetings with each division at the Kyushu headquarters on the 21st. Then, on August 26, he flew to Sapporo in Hokkaido, where he was scheduled to attend the youth division's third Hokkaido sports meet on the 28th. On the morning of August 27, the day after his arrival, Shinichi was driven by car from the Sapporo headquarters to Atsuta village, the hometown of his mentor, Josai Toda. Accompanying him were directors Hiroshi Yamagiwa, Kazumasa Morikawa, and Minoru Suzumoto, and youth division chief Aisuke Akizuki, among other leaders. Shinichi had first visited Atsuta village 6 years earlier, in 1954, with Josai Toda. Memories of that journey shared by mentor and disciple were etched indelibly in his heart. More than 2 years had already passed since Toda's death. The wide-open plains of Hokkaido stretched endlessly as they drove along the same road that Shinichi and Josai Toda had taken on that day. His heart stung with an aching sadness at his mentor's absence on today's journey. Shortly before noon, they drove into Atsuta village and arrived at the Toda Inn, run by Toda's distant relatives. Having heard that Shinichi would be visiting, 30 to 40 local members were awaiting for him at the inn entrance. Stepping from the car, Shinichi bowed to the members and said, "My name is Yamamoto. As Josai Toda's disciple, I have become the third president of the Soka Gakkai. I have come to my mentor's hometown today to report on my inauguration." The members applauded loudly. Recognizing the former village mayor who had welcomed Toda on his last visit, Shinichi took the man's hand and said, "It's good to see you again.
I'm much obliged for the hospitality you showed me during my visit to Atsuta 6 years ago. I haven't forgotten your kindness." The former mayor beamed brightly at this. Everyone entered the inn. Shinichi chatted with Toda's relatives and the local members and joined them for lunch. Just as on that earlier visit with his mentor, they sat around big steaming pots of ishikari nabe, that's a salmon stew, enjoying a pleasant conversation. Together, they also sang Toda's favorite songs. After the meal, Shinichi suggested, "Now that our stomachs are ready to burst, why don't we all go for a walk? It will be good exercise." He reached for his jacket and stood up. Shinichi set off on a stroll with the members, engaging them in amiable conversation. After commemorative photos on the beach, they continued on to the breakwater that rimmed Atsuta's harbour. Waves lapped quietly on the shore under breathtakingly clear blue skies. Walking along this same breakwater 6 years earlier, Shinichi had resolved to write a sequel to Josei Toda's book, The Human Revolution, to record his mentor's life and achievements. Shinichi would have liked to have visited Atsuta all by himself this time, to stand here looking out over the sea and reminiscing about his mentor. But his new responsibilities as president no longer permitted him even that small luxury. As he filled his lungs with the fresh air of Atsuta, however, a surge of happiness welled up inside him. He sensed profoundly that his mentor was watching over him, enfolding him in an invisible embrace. Shinichi vividly recalled Toda's words as they watched the sunset here on the Atsuta beach 6 years ago. "Shinichi, I will build a solid foundation for Kosenrufu in Japan, but you will pave the way for Kosenrufu throughout the world." He had felt his mentor's boundless expectations for him and the magnitude of his own mission. At dawn the next day, he had come down to the beach and made a solitary pledge before the sea. "Sensei, I, Shinichi, will definitely accomplish Kosenrufu of the East. I will definitely build a golden bridge of Kosenrufu to span the world." Never for a single moment had Shinichi forgotten his mentor's words spoken that day. Immediately after his inauguration, Shinichi set the wheels in motion for an overseas journey in the quest for world peace. At the beginning of October, he was to leave on a trip that would take him to 9 cities in 3 countries, the United States, Canada, and Brazil. Plans were underway for him to visit Asia the following January. One reason Shinichi had visited Atsuta this time was a desire to announce before the sea, from his mentor's hometown, plans for his first trip abroad for worldwide Kosenrufu. Shinichi expressed his deep feelings to the Atsuta members. "I count Atsuta, President Toda's hometown, as my second home. It is also the starting point of my journey into the world. Please unite and build a beautiful realm of happiness here in my stead." It was close to nightfall when Shinichi concluded his short visit to Atsuta and made his way back to Sapporo by car. Gazing at the landscape of Atsuta as it receded into the distance, Shinichi thought, "One day I must build a magnificent edifice here as an eternal tribute to President Toda, as a lasting testament to his spirit." Shinichi's cherished desire was to be realized 17 years later as the Toda Memorial Cemetery Park. The days were still hot as August. The Soka Gakkai's month of training drew to a close. It had been a month devoted to nurturing capable people with a schedule of activities that included the summer training course at the head temple, guidance tours by senior leaders to areas around the country, and a series of youth division sports meet in each region. The last major meeting for that month of the Soka Gakkai headquarters leaders was held on August 30th at the Tokyo Gymnasium. Hiroshi Yamagiwa, Chief of Organizational Statistics, began the proceedings by announcing the number of Gohonzon conferred upon new members nationwide that month. "This month, we have achieved a grand total of 67,384 new households. The audience greeted the announcement with wild cheers and applause. The figure topped by more than 10,000 the previous record monthly figure of 56,413 achieved in June that year. It was the largest number ever of new members joining the Soka Gakkai in a single month. Since Shinichi Yamamoto had become president, the Soka Gakkai's propagation activities, like the onward rush of a great wave, had reached an unstoppable momentum. As he expressed his heartfelt appreciation to the members for their devoted efforts in securing such a brilliant triumph, President Yamamoto shared some positive feedback from a guest. A reporter from one of Japan's leading newspapers came to cover one of our youth division sports meets. After watching the various competitive events, this reporter exclaimed in surprise, "The Soka Gakkai I've heard about and the Soka Gakkai I saw today with my own eyes are vastly different. They are as different as two things can be." He also said before leaving, "The fact that so many people go about their activities not only joyfully but with strong unity must be due, I think, to the underlying influence of some great philosophy." There was loud applause. A single glimpse of the truth. In this case, members glowing with vitality and the joy of life has the power to dispel instantly, like wind blowing away mist, countless rumors based on speculation and prejudice. Sports meets were nothing new or out of the ordinary. They were normal annual events in many schools and companies throughout Japan. Soka Gakkai sports meets, however, were filled with the vital and dynamic energy of youth, evident even in their routine programs of group calisthenics. Joy radiated from each participant. Moreover, each individual, shining in his or her own way, harmonized with the whole to create a beautiful composition of heart-to-heart unity. Unity may be produced by binding people together with steel-like discipline, but under such circumstances, the radiant joy of each individual will be absent. The sublime harmony realized between the individual and the whole at the Soka Gakkai sports meets was a product of Itai Doshin, many in body, one in mind, based on faith. The journalist's keen reasoning had enabled him to perceive this accurately. To illuminate society with the brilliance of their character, Shinichi explained to the members, would serve to prove to others the validity of the Daishonin's Buddhism. He then cited a Japanese saying that a warrior, having achieved victory, must again immediately begin bracing himself for battle, thus stressing that they should not allow themselves to relax or become self-satisfied with their victory. He called on them to advance with fresh determination. The lively youth division sports events continued into September. The first aquatics championship was held in Tokyo on September 3rd, followed by the 7th Tokyo sports meet on the 4th. The latter, which began at 4:30 in the afternoon, was played out partly under floodlights. After attending both events, Shinichi Yamamoto embarked on a guidance trip that took him to Hyogo and Hiroshima prefectures, September 8 to 9, and then attended the 3rd sports meet of Kansai on the 11th. As at the other sports meets around the country, the youth division members showed remarkable growth and development. The young people had taken responsibility for all aspects of the activities right from the initial planning stages. They had to oversee the rehearsals of various group events on the program, book and prepare the venue, organize transportation, and ensure the smooth movement of people on the day of the meet to prevent accidents. They even provided food and refreshments for the participants. A tremendous amount of work was involved, but by taking responsibility and challenging each task, the youth, men and women began to awaken to their mission as heirs to the struggle for Kosen Rufu. In regions where there were few members, they had to begin their preparations by visiting members at home, giving personal guidance and teaching the practice of Gongyo, just to ensure that there would be enough people to serve as support staff for the event. In other areas, competitors and staff pledged to achieve specific propagation goals before the scheduled sports meet, determined that the event should bear witness to the progress of Kosen Rufu. By earnestly encouraging and supporting one another, they succeeded in propagation. The young people had worked hard for the success of the sports meets while diligently applying themselves to their jobs or their studies. Their faces were deeply suntanned, and they exuded confidence, joy, and pride, as well as a greater strength and maturity. Shinichi was overjoyed to see this. It had been his suggestion to hold sports meets in each region to develop and forge the young people's potential. To grow and develop, it was important that they be given great responsibility and actually allowed to handle it themselves. When people feel responsible for something, they will make earnest efforts, thus enhancing their strengths and capabilities. When people actually make effort to accomplish something, they will often be confronted by situations or difficulties they had never anticipated. Such real experience is priceless for developing genuine ability. However, simple though it may seem, entrusting others with responsibility for the sake of their development is actually a challenge. Not only must leaders have the magnanimity to place their faith in others, they must also be prepared to take full responsibility if anything goes wrong. Leaders who fear risking failure, who are interested in only protecting themselves, cannot raise genuinely capable people. Instead, they will only thwart others trying to develop their potential. The morning mist lifted to reveal a clear blue autumn sky on September 23rd, the day of the third National Festival of Youth. The Soka Gakkai's national sports meet was held at Tokyo's National Athletics Stadium. Shinichi Yamamoto arrived there a little after 8 a.m., about 30 to 40 minutes before the event was scheduled to begin. "Good morning! Thank you for all your hard work," Shinichi called out as he walked from the car to some young people working as event staff. On his way to the room set aside for him in the stadium complex, Shinichi stopped time and again to chat briefly with the people he encountered. "I appreciate your efforts so early in the morning. Have you had breakfast?" "Yes, we have." "Please get some rest when time permits so that you don't exhaust yourselves." He wanted to encourage, in any way he could, the staff working on preparations since before daybreak. Shinichi focused on the young people working earnestly behind the scenes, rather than those in the spotlight. At 8:45 a.m., 3,000 competitors paraded into the arena and the opening ceremony began. The Festival of Youth was declared open, and a huge flag emblazoned with the emblem of a young lion was raised on the stadium flagpole. A runner made his entry, bearing the flame of dawn, that is, a torch symbolizing the arrival of the dawn of Kosenryufu, which had been carried in relay all the way from the head temple Taiseikeiji. Amid thunderous applause, he lit the festival's flame of dawn in a specially prepared flame holder. Then, three helicopters circled in the sky above the stadium, releasing 1,000 doves. This signaled the official start of the festival events. Finalists from each region competed intensely for victory in the men's 400 and 800 meters and the women's 200 meter races. As runners in the men's 10K marathon made their way out of the stadium, members of the young women's division filled the field to perform a dance titled Ode to Sports. Spinning joyfully, they formed colorful circles that transformed the ground into a beautiful garden of human flowers. Next, the young men's division members put on an acrobatic display, arranging themselves in a series of formations, including a turret, a bridge, and a cylindrical tower. Then, with breathtaking swiftness, they rearranged themselves across the entire ground to form first the Chinese characters for Lion King, and then for celebrating your trip to America. The message was an expression of sincere good wishes for Shinichi's planned visit to North and South America, now only 9 days away. The stands resounded with long and enthusiastic applause. The participants were excited at the thought that Shinichi's journey for peace was about to begin, a journey that would signal the dawn of the widespread propagation of Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism throughout the world. As Shinichi gazed at these words, his thoughts went to the future of the young people and to his mentor, Josai told her. After a short recess for lunch, relays and other track and field events were held. These were followed by dance performances, including a traditional Japanese dance by 2,000 women's division members and a modern number titled Young Power by the Young Women's Division. At the end of the day, Bunkyo chapter was the winner of the Young Men's Division competition, while Yokosuka chapter topped the Young Women's Division events. After the presentation of prizes, Shinichi Yamamoto came to the microphone. His words were filled with his respect and expectations for the youth. It is easy to talk about attaining peace or happiness, but I declare that only Soka Gakkai members are working for the happiness of their friends, their communities, their nation, and all humanity, while striving for their own happiness based on the great life philosophy of Buddhism. Our mentor, Josai Toda, declared that youth are a nation's pillar. He cherished the greatest expectations for young people. In light of Japan's present situation, I can say unequivocally that its only hope of salvation lies in the Soka Gakkai Youth Division members, who embrace the compassionate teaching of Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism, becoming the country's two pillars. For 10 years, I devoted myself to supporting President Toda. From him, I learned the spirit, principles and vision of Kosen Rufu, and was passed the baton of the mission to realize that dream. As President Toda's disciple, I am determined to keep running with that spiritual baton in hand as long as I have strength and breath left in me, with the sole wish that humanity may live in peace and happiness. Ultimately, it will be none other than the members of the youth division to whom I will pass the baton and say, I'm counting on you to put the finishing touches on the Kosen Rufu movement. I am resolved to stride in the vanguard and pave the way so that all of you, as runners for Kosen Rufu, may sprint out into all of Asia and the world. I hope that you will carry on my will and dedicate your lives to people's happiness and to the realization of peace. I also hope that you will strive to be young people who, in your families, cherish your parents, who, in society, become foremost in your work abilities, who, in the chapters of our organization, warmly embrace our elderly members, and who win the trust and confidence of everyone around you. I close my greetings with a sincere prayer that you will become a source of trust and reliance for the people of Japan, Asia, and the entire world. Each word was a genuine expression of the feelings in Shinichi's heart. His short address was followed by powerful applause. Shinichi then looked up at the blue sky beyond the stands. A flock of doves winged past. Though the path in the sky is invisible to humans, birds know it and fly along it. Gazing into the sky, Shinichi thought he saw there, stretching into the distant future, the dazzling golden road leading to Kosen Rufu.